live from Toronto, Canada, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler. Hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come gather around the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. Before we get started, just a late-breaking announcement here. We have a new affiliate we're welcoming to The Conspiracy Show, WQTK-FM. That's in Watertown, New York. WQTK-FM, Watertown, New York. Welcome aboard, and thank you so much, WQTK, for making us part of your broadcasting family. The 26.5 trillion dollar man, President Reagan's secret agent, Ambassador Lee Wanta, is standing by, along with his publicist biographer, Lon Gibby, from Viking International. Ambassador Wanta will fill us in on what's going on behind the scenes during this crazy U.S. presidential election. I suppose this is kind of our Halloween special. And, you know, we're not going to talk with Rosemary Ellen Guiley about vampires. But when you think of it, just think of this election. How many times has Donald Trump been considered, you know, dead in this election? And Hillary Clinton, likewise. But they keep rising from the grave. So it is kind of Halloween-y, isn't it? We're talking about a couple of, I don't know, zombies. They just will not die. Night of the Living Dead, the U.S. election. Last I spoke with Lee, he didn't think there would be an election, actually. And we'll find out if he's changed his mind. And incidentally, both Lee Wanta and Lon Gibby will be with us for the full 2 hours. There's so much obviously happening in the U.S. election, it's hard to keep track. Of course, the latest is FBI Director James Comey announcing late this week that he was reopening the investigation into Hillary's emails. The big question, or there are several, is this a distraction from the seemingly endless parade of documents from WikiLeaks? Is it a distraction from claims of massive voter fraud going on in the U.S.? Was James Comey pressured due to what other... pressured due to a mutiny inside the FBI. This just came out in the Daily Mail, incidentally, in London, that there's a stack of resignation letters on his desk from very furious FBI agents, and his wife as well, apparently, very upset with her husband. What other October, or should I say November, surprises will we see? Here to discuss all that and more is, first of all, let's welcome Lon Gibby, publisher of Viking International, editor of Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. Welcome, Lon. How are you?
Great, Richard. Great to be with you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Ambassador Lee Wanta, appointed by President Ronald Reagan as a special agent to engineer the takedown of the former Soviet Union in the 1980s through a series of complex currency swaps and other financial transactions. His financial dealings not only caused the collapse of the Russian ruble and the demise of the Soviet Union, he also netted a vast fortune worth an estimated $26.5 trillion. The taxes on that were to be paid to the U.S. Treasury and used to pay down the U.S. debt and pay for massive job-creating infrastructure projects. However, a cabal of nefarious individuals in and out of politics have conspired to prevent Lee from getting at that money. And he is, of course, the author of Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. Ambassador Wanta, welcome back to The Conspiracy Show. How are you, sir?
And good evening to you, but keep in mind, I'm a secret agent, not a special agent.
All right, thank you for that.
Because that's a heck of a change, because under the Totten Doctrine, see, if I was a special agent, they would pay me. And I have four letters from the White House Office of Special Counsel that I have never been a federal agent. Thank
All right.
God for that.
Thank you for the clarification. Secret agent. We'll be very clear about that from here on in.
Thank you.
All right. First, let me get your take on FBI James Comey's decision to reopen the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. You thought that would happen, didn't you?
Absolutely. But he's a great man. He is an honest cop. But he was threatened, just like Al Gore was threatened. And what can he do? But now he stood up and said, not so fast. I think he's a great guy.
You've had dealings with him?
Jim Comey testified to Judge Lee in federal court that I was a secret agent of the Totten Doctrine. He was assistant attorney general at that time for John Ashcroft, who suddenly went into the hospital so he wouldn't have to testify. and had Jim Comey testify in lieu of John Ashcroft, which was my favorite because he testified I was a secret agent with President Reagan. Because George Tenet, the director of the CIA, he wanted to be a CIA agent so he could keep all the money, which was fraud on the court by them.
All right. There are several theories, Ambassador Wanda, as to why the FBI would break with protocol and do this so close to an election. It's unprecedented. Some might say inappropriate. You can weigh in on that as well. But one theory, and I mentioned this earlier, is that Comey feels guilty about the lack of a proper investigation back in July, and he wanted to right a wrong. And then we have the Daily Mail today reporting that Comey was facing a mutiny by a multitude of senior FBI agents. There was a pile of resignation letters on his desk. And these agents were furious with Comey because he didn't recommend an indictment again back in July. Another theory is Comey is in the pocket of the Clintons. They have something on him. Let's face it, they have something on everyone in Washington. And he's being used again, and this time this whole opening of the investigation is a distraction. There's nothing new here in the emails. This is a distraction from the constant drip, drip, drip from WikiLeaks, and it's also perhaps to distract from massive voter fraud going on. What are your thoughts on these two possible explanations?
Well, let's go one at a time. First of all, Comey is not a prosecutor. He used to be the deputy attorney general. Then he was a prosecutor. Now he's the FBI director. FBI directors do not prosecute. They recommend. Loretta Lynch already told him, drop dead, you're not doing nothing. Loretta Lynch is a political appointee from Obama. Now, where could they go? Comey is correct. Comey knew they were guilty, or they should have been charged, and he knew that upstairs would not help him in any shape or form. He was threatened as well, and he didn't want to die for the country, because by being alive like me, you can tell the truth and let the people understand the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to help you God. And Comey's an honorable person. And he said, the FBI is going to back me, and I'm standing up. And he's a hell of a tall guy.
Are you hearing anything from senior FBI agents about their being upset with him, that he's being pressured because they're threatening resignation? Is there a mutiny going on inside the FBI?
There's not a mutiny. The FBI, you remember Frank B. Ingram of the FBI. Remember that? SA-32NV? Those senior agents want justice to be served. You cannot buy yourself out of here by political allocations or appointments or just threats. This is not the way to run our country. We're destroyed enough. This is one of the few times the FBI says, not so fast.
All right.
The agents are upset, and you can't blame them. They took an oath of office like we all do.
Right.
But you just can't say, well, we're set aside allocations or special privileges or this or that. We're going to close our eyes. They don't have that right to close their eyes. They're investigators. They're cops. They're police. They're law enforcement. You can't pick and choose who you're going to give a ticket to.
Ambassador Lee Wanta is with us. The book is Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. Lon Gibby also joins us from Viking International. Ambassador, what are you hearing, if anything, about what may be the substance behind this reopening of the investigation? Is it one particular email? Is it evidence that classified information was sent between Hillary to Uma Abedin? What are you hearing?
Well, first of all, they're very close, those two, and extremely close. And number two, you guys forget about Benghazi, which is not a consulate. It was not an embassy. Ambassador Stevens was murdered by homicide because he refused to do that arms deal with Turkey. They sacrificed him. And you will recall in Mogadishu, under the fact that I went to Mogadishu, we were going to have a naval supply depot there full-time, 24/7 at our expense, and we're having the airport over there divided to the U.S. Air Force, and I was made ambassador for that sole purpose to rebuild Somalia, which just was released from the Italians, and certain public officials went and did a financial coup d'etat and got rid of the Council of Elders and stole the government from the people of Somalia.
All right,
they have
just,
all the right in the world to complain that there was a financial coup just like Ukraine to change the management of the country.
Let me just back up to Benghazi.
We are to do those things.
Let me just back up to Benghazi. You're saying that Ambassador Stevens was targeted because he refused to run weapons out of Benghazi into Turkey. Is that what
no,
you're saying?
No, the Turkey ambassador met with him in Benghazi, and he refused to do what Hillary and everybody wanted to do. And that's why they gunned them down. He's an American ambassador. That's pretty high up to have him murdered and slaughtered and other physical changes. That's not fair.
Well, to say the least, it's not fair.
Benghazi was part of the Libya problems, and that was all by political crap.
So,
there's never been an embassy in Benghazi. They talked about it. It was never a consulate. They talked about it. Hillary never approved it. He didn't approve it. He went there as a loyal American to save lives.
So are you saying that the reopening of the investigation and whatever they found during their investigation of Anthony Weiner, Uma's estranged husband, that is connected to the Benghazi fiasco?
Everything is involved with Benghazi because our military was told to stand down, and if we would have had the Mogadishu Naval Supply Depot and the air base there, we would have been there in minutes, and I swear that there would have been a destroyer or a cruiser or maybe a battleship in the water because we were going to Mogadishu to protect the Israeli and the Middle East from war because the military-industrial complex and certain politicians make money from wars as well as the banks. The people like you and I, common people, we get no enjoyment of people being murdered and beheaded.
All right, so
crazy.
So what do you expect to happen in the next few days? Is this going to come out before the election? Is there going to be an indictment?
Elections? How can you have elections? First of all, Senator Bernie Sanders, who was running his presidency in the Democratic DNC, clearly said that it was a staged, rigged election by the DNC, and he was being swindled. Now, that would immediately have the FBI come under the RICO statutes for corrupt organizations, which could be the RNC and the DNC. Under RICO statutes and H.R. 20, the Hatch Act reform, you cannot use employees in political situations that are federal employees getting paid by the federal government, which is all the people.
All right. I do want to come around to your belief that the elections will
not
take.
It's not my belief. It's
okay.
A fact. It's
fair.
A rule of law. It's not
right.
A belief.
Okay. But I do want to come back to that, Ambassador Wanda, but I just want to focus on what do you think is – or what do you know is going to transpire in the next few days? Is the investigation – that's been reopened. Are we going to see anything come in the next few days? Are we going to see an indictment? Are we going to see what's going to happen?
There's nobody knows that. But you can't have any national elections because Senator Bernie Sanders said the elections were rigged, and now you got Trump saying he knows it's being rigged. My argument is all these people are bragging they want to run for office, but nobody's telling the people that we would have had 2 million jobs. Back already in 1994 under the Clinton, Gore, and everybody with the high-speed rail, and we would have no taxpayer funds. That's 2 million jobs, and say we're going to bring employment. We had employment shortages since 1994, yes, when we talked to Rubin and Gore and Clinton that we were going to build a high-speed rail free of charge. That's 2 million immediate jobs. Immediate jobs.
Right. But back to the voter fraud, and Lon Gibby is with us as well from Viking International.
Oh, welcome, Lon.
Wanta, Black Swan, wait. White Hat, Ambassador Lee Wanta, Lon Gibby with us for the full 2 hours. The Bernie Sanders statement that it's been rigged. Now, some will say, well, the DNC, yes, it's dirty, but they used superdelegates, and while it's unsavory and not terribly democratic, it does fall within the rules of the DNC.
No, it doesn't.
You cannot
make up rules to break the RICO statutes and the H.R. 20 Hatch Act.
All right, explain.
Act and the amendments of 1993. I don't care what party you're in. I don't care if you're a senator or a congressperson or a clerk in Congress. You cannot change the laws, nor can the political parties change the laws and become a corrupt organization and violate the RICO statute.
Okay, just explain it to me, though, Ambassador. I'm not challenging you. I'm just asking you.
No, I just want you to know.
All right.
Just
how does this?
They say that's it. That means nothing.
But haven't superdelegates been used by the DNC?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
You're rigging the elections, and Bernie Sanders, a senator, testified and told the people that the elections were rigged, which means the DNC and the RNC is involved in corrupt organizations, which is against the federal law.
Okay, but
don't write a law if you're not going to support it.
All right, but wouldn't a federal prosecutor have to start that in action in order to suspend the election?
No, because Senator Sanders brought it to the table.
Okay.
That's up now to the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, to do that.
Loretta Lynch is not likely to suspend elections, though, is she?
Well, she doesn't. She enforces the law. She doesn't modify the law.
Okay. So, but how? Just help me understand.
Let me mention one thing.
Yes, Lon Gibby. Yes.
Yeah. Title 18. There's many sections in there that deal with the conduct of politicians and how they're supposed to operate when in office. And under Title 18, there's at least six of those titles that deal directly with some of the issues that have come out recently on Hillary, and a lot of people have known about for many years. But one of the most simple ones, it's real clear, is if you want to go to federal law, Title 18, Section 2071. This deals with this basically says this. I'm going
to
read it.
Okay, Lon, I'm up against a break here, Lon. So just hold on to that. We will get to that particular statute, Title 18, when we come back. Lon Gibby from Viking International, biographer, editor. And Ambassador Lee Wanta, President Reagan's secret agent, and the author of Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat, back with more of The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
Exploring theories, uncovering facts, and offering a different view of the universe. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard live, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
This year, with the civil unrest, the lower loony, and the political situation, we thought it's time for us to examine going south.
I'm talking with Vivian Vassos, executive editor of Zoomer Magazine, about the annual Snowbird issue. Now, you've done something a little different this year, haven't you?
We took this opportunity to reach out to our readers digitally via Facebook and ask them if they're planning on heading south this winter.
And are they?
Of course, many of our readers love Florida, Texas, California, Arizona. So they're going. They own homes there. But what's different this year? They may spend less time there. They may try other locations and destinations.
And do you cover some of those other destinations?
We've taken a look at some other options outside of the U.S. We've got some surprises, some destinations in Europe and South America.
And also a look at perennial favorites, New Orleans and San Antonio. Plus the story of two couples who drove the entire Route 66 and produced a commemorative album. The November issue of Zoomer Magazine on newsstands now. This is your life. Zoomer Magazine. This holiday, we'll be gathering in our new custom kitchen, part of our recent Royal Home Improvements home renovation.
We called Royal Home Improvements, who gave us a glamorous kitchen and new dining area that fits the whole family.
We're here!
Including your mom, my biggest fan.
Don't be silly. She'll have nice things to say about Royal Home Improvements' award-winning work.
Yeah, like, let me guess who did the kitchen reno. Obviously not you.
Get up to $2,000 off your new addition or renovation by calling Royal Home Improvements. Conditions apply. Act now and prepare to be complimented.
Your kitchen is gorgeous.
Seniors never pay tax, and CARP members can save all or part of the tax. Call now and get started on your home for the holidays. A reno so beautiful, guests may never leave. Call 416-236-4400 or visit royalhomeimprovements.ca.
Your home was once your comfort zone, but now you have an accessibility challenge that turns a home into a hazard. The solution? The Total Home Safety Check. Total Access Center will come to your home, check every room for potential hazards, and then suggest the best safety solutions. It's sort of like your home adapting to you. Book your no-charge assessment with the Total Access Center. Call 416-546-1000. Yes, the Total Home Safety Check is free. And isn't that comforting?
The next meeting of the Zoomer Radio Fan Club will be held in your kitchen. Or maybe it'll be in your office or bedroom. It'll be wherever you read your Zoomer Radio Fan Club newsletter. You'll also have first chance at prizes set aside for Zoomer Radio Fan Club members only. And you'll be the first to get the news about Zoomer performers, programming, contests, and promotions.
Go to ZoomerRadio.ca to join the Zoomer Radio fan club now. Corporations, governments, and sometimes entire civilizations. What goes up must come down. And it lands on The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
All right, welcome back. Before we get back to Ambassador Wanta, let me just throw it over to Albert, who's monitoring the Twitter feed, and we're going to wrap up this What's in the Box segment. Albert, anyone close?
Oh, well, I don't know what's in the box either, but we've got a bunch of people tweeting in. Aaron G. says a plastic fork. Catherine Ray says cigars. Lala Lee says a little owl. Another person for cigars. All Out of Love says a hand, and there's still more coming in.
A human hand. All right. You know what? Nobody's even close. Why don't you just turn the webcam around very quickly and let us reveal what is in the box. It's a very simple item. Here we go. Can you open that, Albert? Man, you got to hit the gym. It's just a lid on a humidor.
A hand was close. A mitten.
A hand. It is a mitten. All right, what do you think? Is that close enough, Ian? A hand? All right, it's a red mitten. Winter is coming. All right, why don't we connect with her, and hopefully she's in the Toronto area, and she'll have our little Halloween grab bag here full of books. All right, congratulations to her. Please connect with her on Twitter. Albert?
Okay.
All right, back to Ambassador Lee Wanta Lon Gibby. Before the break, Lon, you were going to explain Title 18 and how this refers to voter fraud and Senator Bernie Sanders claiming or insisting, of course, that there was some voter fraud involved with the use of superdelegates and so forth. All right, so go ahead with that, Lon.
Okay, Richard, this refers to this Title 18, Section 2071, which refers to a person that's a political that's in office. It reads this way, and I want you to hear this. Whoever having custody of any such record, proceeding map, book, document, paper, or other thing willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, falsifies, or destroys the same, she'll be fined under this title or in prison, not more than 3 years or both, and she'll forfeit his office and be disqualified from holding any office under the United States. This is a federal law. Okay, and so basically, if you've mutilated or destroyed or concealed, then everybody knows now, it's pretty well known that that's exactly what took place, that you are not eligible to be able to run for office. It's a federal law. And so today I was really happy that Fox News finally picked up on it. We've been putting this out. I know Lee's been putting it on Twitter for over a year now, or at least getting the information out. It's also mentioned in the book, the biography. But Fox, one of the mainstream news organizations, picked up on it. Brett Baer did and talked about it. And it's finally starting. People are finally asking the question, well, why wasn't this brought up earlier? You know, it needed to, I mean, it's clear that you can't, under this federal law, that if you've removed or concealed or obliterated or destroyed, you know, government property, emails, documents that are part of the government, that you cannot run for office. So that's it. I mean, and that's before we even get into all the other issues that Lee, of course, brought up.
Right, so that has nothing to do with Bernie Sanders and the superdelegates.
No,
you're talking about. Right, okay.
This is really important. It's right at the very top of the list right now, as far as, you know, it's one of the most important things that's come out at this point in the election, is this finally has come out.
So
she's not even qualified to run under this.
So
he's disqualified.
And that is why James Comey reopened it now, because this investigation is going to demonstrate clearly that government documents were destroyed, and thus she is no longer qualified to run.
That's correct. Yeah.
I mean,
and so a number of people today on the news, Fox brought it up. They were questioning whether this, this should be a disqualifying situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, add that to the list. Others have said, well, listen, she has disqualified herself from being briefed now, briefed in intelligence matters. That would disqualify her from being president. You can't have a president who doesn't have security clearance to be briefed on intelligence matters. That would disqualify her. So,
but that's just the tip of the iceberg, as you know, and Lee, you know, has brought up a number of other issues that
right.
you know, are serious. And, of course, we know about Lee's tie with Vince Foster and what happened to
right.
to the money that was given to him. So that's just all additional stuff that will come out later. But
that's
the main reason why the election can't take place.
Well, but Ambassador Wanta, let me ask you this, and Lon, you can jump in as well. Let's assume then that Hillary would be told to step down. In fact, there was an article or an editorial in the Chicago Tribune today, a very important newspaper in the United States, Chicago Tribune, and the editorial or the columnist said that Hillary must stand down. Couldn't they simply have then her vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine stand in for the election?
Absolutely not, because the people had voted in the primaries for Hillary Clinton.
Okay, so there's no mechanism that
might
would allow
bring in Santa Claus or some whatever.
So there's no mechanism
there's
that
no
would
way to do that.
There isn't. Okay,
he's talking about bringing somebody to replace Trump. The people make the decisions, not politicians.
Right,
and you don't make. The parties do not make rules who should run and who should not run. The people are in charge.
Well, if she were disqualified and Kaine couldn't run instead, why couldn't Trump just run against Jill Stein and the Libertarian candidate?
That's not what the people expect. People have the right to govern their government their way, not the political way. A lot of these politicians were not even legally elected.
All right. So if the election then is suspended, who makes that call and then what happens after that?
I would trust that the Supreme Court would jump in, but the highest court of the land is the U.S. District Court of the District of Columbia, not the Supreme Court. That's not the highest court of the land. That's a political entity that served the president and the White House. So you go revert back to the way back when the U.S. District Court of the District of Columbia could make a ruling. That could take 4 or 5 months. In the meantime, you get a white paper commission like you used to do way back when, and the people are highly respected would form, like they did in the Philippines, a good government commission in the Philippines. Remember when Marcos left?
Right, right.
They got through with it. Same thing when New York went into bankruptcy probably 30, 40, 50 years ago. They created a commission to settle up all the bills in New York so they could be a sovereign state again.
So you're saying that the election would be suspended for...
You can't suspend. It's not an illegal election. Under the RICO statutes, you still have to investigate for a corrupt organization. So either party can't vote on nothing. Because Sanders, who was a sitting senator of the United States Senate, already had told the world that the elections are rigged. You must have a full-scale investigation under RICO statutes, Chapter 95 or 96. I forgot which one. You may remember. 95 or 96, on Section, I think, 1161. The people have the right to govern, not the politicians. Do not govern the people.
All right. We'll take a time out. Ambassador Lee Wanta says there will be no election on November the 8th. Lon Gibby from Viking International, Lee's biographer, editor, stays with us as well. Back with more of The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
The world is being pulled over your eyes. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio. To reach Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740. This is no place for the naive or the faint-hearted. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat, Ambassador Lee Wanta, with us for the duration, along with Lon Gibby, editor, publisher, Viking International. We are talking about what else the United States presidential election and why it won't happen. Ambassador Wanta says that it will be – now, I don't want to put you over the edge here again, Ambassador, but I just want to make sure I have the language right here. Are you saying that it will or will not be suspended, or what is –
Here, let me follow up. I'm not going over the edge again. I'm too old to go over the edge. Under the RICO statutes, RICO statutes.
Yes.
Title 18, U.S. Code, Chapter 96, Section 1961. Both parties and all the parties would have to be dissolved. First of all, they got to be investigated for corrupt organizations. They're picking and choosing what rights of the people have. They have no right. And that's followed up by H.R. 20 of the Hatch Act, H-A-T-C-H, Act Reform,
okay,
of the amendments of 1993, which was in the 103rd Congress in 1993-1994 for, like, political hanky-panky. You can't do those things. Loretta Lynch has an obligation, as well as the acting president, Barack Obama, and I say acting because for a number of very truthful reasons. And here's another guy. He's talking about jobs. He would have had 2 million jobs. He knows about the high-speed rail. Cost him nothing. Cost the taxpayers nothing. And they brag about we're going to bring more jobs. He didn't do the 2 million jobs since 1994 free of charge.
Okay, so back to the RICO.
Nonsense.
Back to RICO.
Yes.
All right, so what then happens on November the 8th? Who makes a statement? How does
nothing
this
happen?
Nothing
there
happens.
There are no elections. You can't have elections
right
with corrupt organizations, as Bernie Sanders pointed out.
So
he's
how does this
senator? You can't ignore him.
How does this happen then? Does the president come on TV and make an announcement? How does
what
it happen?
President?
Okay, Lon, can you help me out here? What happens?
Okay. Well, you know, what you're hearing is, you know, again, from Lee's perspective and where he's at, when he says, what president?
I understand.
The reason why he says that.
Okay? I understand.
Because we're operating, you know, a lot of people believe and understand, if you do some research on it, we're operating as a corporation, not as a constitutional republic.
I understand. I'm using shorthand here.
So when Lee says, what president, that's what he's trying to say.
I understand.
Okay.
But I'm using shorthand here. So who makes a statement? How do we find out there is no election?
Well, that's a really good question. And
I would think, gentlemen, the Provost Marshal of the United States Army and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they have a constitutional authority to do that. You don't need a politician to say we're being raped and plundered.
Okay.
The Provost Marshal, General Mark Inch, and the Department of Defense, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, are big boys. They know the law, the constitutional law. It's been around since the civil law, the war we had back in the
Civil War. 1800s. Right. Okay. So
they have the authority. Nobody has to give them special authority.
Okay. Would there then be, would the acting president? I'll use that term. Would the acting president then?
There won't be an acting president.
Okay.
We already got rid of one.
So who will then be in charge?
The Provost Marshal would have to be under constitutional law and the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Would they have to
declare? Have to save our country from corruption, political corruption, and the establishment, the cabal, the military-industrial complex, and all the other crap that goes along with corruption.
Would there then be martial law?
You don't need martial law. We have a military. Well, we're fighting ourselves? That's ridiculous.
Well, don't you anticipate that there would be tremendous civil unrest when the election doesn't take place?
People would be happy to find out that we're taking our country back from the characters and the state agent provocateurs. They're not going to go to martial law. They don't win for martial law. Politicians only win for martial law because they can do whatever they want to control the masses.
But
the masses are the electors,
but you can
not the politicians.
Okay, but you can appreciate.
Richard, I think the public will be willing to postpone the election. Let's just say, you know, we're not canceling the election, but it can be postponed due to the things that are being revealed.
Irregularities.
Right. Well, we can talk more about that because surely there are tremendous irregularities. Never mind Bernie Sanders. I mean, and we can talk about.
He's the tempest in the pot.
I understand.
He brought it to the public's eye.
Okay, but let me just bring it back to my concern about the potential for civil unrest. And I understand what you're saying, that people will be relieved, perhaps a certain portion. But you know that there are, you mentioned agent provocateurs. They will use certain groups to say, listen.
Right, and they'll be arrested because they're getting paid. for insurrection. That's a criminal offense. You have the military arrest the state agent provocateurs and the puppet masters and all these other characters that are trying to destroy our country. This is the only time we have left.
Well, this is what I'm wondering about, the potential for tremendous civil unrest, whether these groups that'll be manipulated and provoked. Let's face it, we have many communities in the United States that are on tinderhooks right now, and something like this.
They're being raped and plundered.
Right.
Well, and go back to the Watergate, situation. It was getting pretty. I mean, this is way more serious than Watergate, of course.
I would agree with that.
There's so much information that's been covered up. But remember that the country didn't fall apart during that time. It was very difficult time for the country when the president and he resigned. He didn't have to be relieved of duty, and he just went ahead and resigned. It's all going to. Hopefully, will happen in a peaceful way when it does happen. But once all this information comes out, I mean, the public's going to demand, that things be done properly. I mean, and people are. It's not like this is a new thing we're talking about. People know about exactly the corruption and the things that are going on. A lot of the people do. It's just that it hasn't come to them through the mainstream media yet. But when it does, that could change things.
All right. So then what happens is, do we push the reset button and do we start the primary process over again with new candidates? How does that how do you see that playing out?
Talking to me or Lon?
Either of you, yeah.
I would see that somewhere along the line, the provost marshal will bring people on board to be like temporary leaders to create a better world for the sake of another name. And rebuild our country. We have the capability to do it. We just have to give the people of the military a chance without a martial law and all that other political nonsense to rebuild. Every state's a sovereign state amongst itself. So you got 50 states that control their own environment. We don't need a huge White House to tell us how to live. We have 50 independent states. Look what they did to the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico now. They raped and plundered them, just like they did in Ukraine. They have no more rights. They foreclosed on all that illegal debt, and the bankers own Puerto Rico. It's crazy what gets on with the world these days. It's all okay because they say so. Who is they? It's not the will of the people.
Is there unity amongst the let's call them the flag officers in the military? Are they all on side or are
they? Absolutely, they're on side of the American people. They took their oath of office to serve the American people. They're not going to shoot fellow Americans. That's crazy. That's what the politicians want. Let's kill everybody. And then the ISIS, who are funded by a lot of political leaders and corruption. Just behead everybody.
We don't
have to shave anymore. That's crazy stuff. That should have been stopped immediately.
No, but I'm wondering,
the military-industrial complex makes money by having wars as well as the banks.
Right, but are there not divided loyalties within the Pentagon, amongst the flag officers?
The flag officers were served American people.
All right.
They're not politicians. They hate politicians because they know they're corrupt. Not all of them, but a bunch of them are, and they get away with murder.
Fortunately, we have some good politicians out there. I hope everybody understands that that's listening, that we're not.
But they can't do anything.
I don't think Lee's saying that everybody's corrupt. And it's just that the control mechanism and people that have had the been at the highest level of puppet mastering at the highest level have been, controlling things up to this point. But things are changing.
All right. Ambassador Lee Wanta and Lon Gibby stays with us. We're coming up on the top of the hour. And for the affiliates down the line who do not carry the second hour, we will say goodnight. But for those who do, please stay tuned for part two of our conversation with Ambassador Lee Wanta. Again, the book, Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat, along with editor-publisher Lon Gibby of Viking International, we will continue to discuss the U.S. election, or the suspension of the U.S. election, and much more. StrangePlanet.ca, the website, your portal to this program. Say hello on Twitter. Please follow at Richard Serrett, S Why? Because I Love You, R-E-T-T. And as always, follow the truth.
Live from Toronto, Canada, Earth, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett on Zoomer Radio.
Thanks for inviting me into your home, your long-haul truck, RV, camper, your parents' basement, loft, taxi, that greasy spoon just off the interstate in your cabin in the woods. A special hello to all of you listening in on our flagship station, Zoomer Radio, AM 740, 50,000 watts of peace and love, and 96.7 FM. Incidentally, driving into the radio station tonight, from way up in the what I call the nosebleed section north of Steeles Avenue, I could pull in 96.7 FM from north of Steeles on Bayview, and it sounded great. Hi to all of you listening in on the Zoomer Radio app and the Conspiracy Show app, both free downloads. The podcasts, of course, iTunes, TuneIn.com, Stitcher Radio, and TalkZone.com. Those of you listening in on one of our affiliates, and we have a new one tonight, WQTKFM. WQTKFM in Watertown, New York. And, of course, let's not forget those of you watching us on the live stream on YouTube through our Hangout on Air. And incidentally, if you want to watch this radio transmission and stream it live on YouTube, just go to my Twitter feed at Richard Sarrett, S-Y-R-E-T-T. Go to the top of the feed or near the top. Find the tweet containing the HOA link, large capital letters, HOA. Just click on it and you're in. Wherever and however you're listening, I bid thee welcome and I thank you for your fine company. Staying with us is Ambassador Lee Wanta, President Reagan's secret agent, the $26.5 trillion man. Actually, I think with interest, it's now up to $32.1 trillion that he amassed during a series of currency swaps and other complex financial transactions, which were used to bring down the Soviet Union at President Reagan's behest. And he is also joined by publicist, publisher-editor Lon Gibby from Viking International. Again, the book, Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. It's all in here, documented. And Ambassador Wanta is with us tonight to talk about the election, the U.S. election. He says it's not going to happen because of mass voter fraud. Now, we did talk about the situation with Bernie Sanders. Let me ask you about the other reports of voter fraud. We have reports that up to 2 million deceased Americans continue to vote. They remain on the registration on the voters list. I mean, that is some effective get out the vote campaign when you have people rising from the grave as we approach Halloween and casting their votes. Is the voter fraud at that level significant enough to change an election when you have 2 million deceased people still voting? Ambassador?
You're asking me? Absolutely, it's voter fraud. And voter fraud is a federal crime, big time.
Right.
I know people in Chicago that went to a rescue mission many years ago on a ward, and they gave out packs of cigarettes, put the people at the mission house on a bus, and they all got arrested, and they got in big, big trouble. Same thing. You cannot buy a vote. You cannot create a vote. You cannot defraud a vote.
What are your thoughts on...
Al Gore could have probably won the election, but they threatened him and his daughter, so he passed on an inspection of the votes.
That's right.
All voter fraud.
Which, it was interesting after the third debate when Chris Wallace, the moderator, asked Donald Trump whether he would abide by the results, and he'll say, I'll take a wait-and-see action. Of course, they made a big deal about that. There was a great deal of hypocrisy because, as you just mentioned, Al Gore contested the election in 2004, did not concede, went to the Supreme Court. He was backed in that action by Bill Clinton, so there's they didn't accept the results. John Kerry... Gore in 2000, John Kerry in 2004, same thing in Ohio, although he rolled over pretty quick and accepted, but I don't think until the next day.
Because they made him a deal, which violated the rights for the people to vote for their own person.
Right. There's also reports, and I think this was during the 2012 presidential election, something like 120% of registered voters in Philadelphia cast votes. Just think about what I just said. 120% of registered voters in Philadelphia cast votes. I mean, how widespread is this, Ambassador?
You have to understand George Soros is very much involved in counting the votes. When I was young, my dad had a paper ballot. We went into a little building. He went into the building. I stayed outside with other people to vote, and they had a paper ballot. That's the only way to go because you can count them, you can weigh them, and you can absolutely guarantee perfect election results. But I know for a fact, I read newspaper articles right now that people are throwing the ballots away before they even get counted.
Hey, Lee, you just made a statement maybe you can clarify would help the audience. You said that George Soros was involved in election. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. He rents the machines that counts the votes.
Right. These are the smart-o-matics.
Right. He was found guilty in Malaysia for running currency speculation deals. And the prime minister himself of Malaysia, Mahathir, whatever his name was, went after him big time, and he was indicted. And he can't go anywhere in certain countries now because he was indicted for monetary fraud.
Right, well, so Soros controls.
I heard a statement that that Mr. Yoon, one of the, the news commentators, said that he no longer had any connections or didn't have those contracts. Do you believe he still has those contracts?
Well, somewhere he's got a clown in or someplace to represent him. He's not giving up a big deal. Like George Soros runs Open Society that's had totally destroyed all of the European Union. He's not a friend of humanity. Never was.
How many
Andrew
states?
Soros was one of his KGB chairman in Budapest in Hungary. I met those guys. I met Soros. I wouldn't trust him with a lollipop.
How many states are utilizing the electronic voting machines?
I have no idea.
Roughly. Do you know, Lon? It's a couple of dozen, isn't it?
I've heard that the majority of the states do. There were 16 states that were mentioned that still have machinery that relates to back to the Soros time period. What was interesting is that nobody disputes that he was involved in the last election. I haven't heard anybody say no, he wasn't ever involved in that. But his machines were. But I'm not sure about I'm trying to get to the bottom of who has the contracts for those machines, and how can we verify and check on those?
Why can't we have a numbered ballot and count every ballot one by one? Are we that cheap?
I agree. I think you have to go back to 100% paper ballots. And the other thing, and let me get your take on this. I think what needs to be done is you have to do away with all this advanced polling. One day you show up, you vote, that's it. What are your thoughts?
That's the way it should be. Every person has the right to vote one time.
Right. I mean, we have states now. I believe Wisconsin, Lee, you can tell me if this is true. In Wisconsin, you can change your mind three times before voting day. If you're participating in advanced polls, you can change your mind three times before you cast your final vote.
Well, it won't surprise me. There's no leadership in the corporate state of Wisconsin. It's a corporation. It's not a state of the union. In fact, they have offices in Washington, and they admit they're a corporation.
All right.
State of Wisconsin is not a sovereign state like everybody thinks. In fact, Judge Torfey made me the only citizen under Wisconsin Constitution, Chapter 101, so I am probably the king and the queen and the other fairy in charge of the state of Wisconsin under a judgment of the court, Dane County, or the County of Dane. They go by two names. They can prosecute in a Dane County or County of Dane, and whatever they please. Tommy Thompson's the one that destroyed all my records. And I lost over $4.5 trillion, which 35% of that would have went to the American people. Good job, Tommy Thompson. You got a secretary job with Bush, but the people didn't get 35% of $4.5 trillion judgment of Judge Lee in my favor. That money disappeared for the TARP people.
We will get
the bankers ripped off the people $4.5 trillion. And then they get a dime in taxes.
We will get an update on the missing 31. Well, it's not missing. We know where it is, but
the
$31.2 trillion. We will get an update on that, Ambassador. But let me.
And by the way, I don't know if this just came out, but you might want to check this out, Richard. But the Chicago Tribune supposedly is the first major newspaper to ask Clinton to step down.
I did mention that earlier. Yes, it was an editorial.
Yeah, okay, you got
columnist.
That. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
that is pretty remarkable. I mean, the Tribune is no friend of the Republicans.
Absolutely not.
So for them to come out and right. Yeah, this is building. This is incredible. We will see what the morning brings. However, I want to pursue the voter fraud for a few moments yet. Then I want to talk also about Russia and the saber rattling going on there. But let me ask
it's
you about
the Russia Federation. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. No, I appreciate your precise language, Ambassador. I do. So the James O'Keefe Project Veritas videos. Have you had an opportunity to review those, and what are your thoughts, either of you, Lon or Ambassador Wanta?
I don't know who this guy is.
This is
say that. What was that? Say that once again.
The Project Veritas videos, undercover videos showing the DNC's super PACs and individuals that they've hired to commit. They admit on tape. Committing voter fraud, busing in people from state to state to state to vote multiple times, inciting riots at the Republican convention in Chicago. Not riots, but inciting violence.
Trump alluded to that.
Yeah. I wasn't sure whether you might have had an opportunity to look at those and had any thoughts.
But it's still legal. Those are goon squads.
Right.
But that's a pattern. You know, you're talking about a pattern that's been gone on before. It's not something new. It's the way they operate. It's just finally now being exposed, so, you know, where it should be, where the public's going to, you know, they're saying this is absurd. We can't accept that. But it's not acceptable to have those type of activities going on. But it's finally being exposed, which is what we really need, is to get it out.
And just to reiterate, for those joining us, Ambassador Lee Wanta and Lon Gibby are with us, and Ambassador Wanta has announced on this program that there will be no election.
No lawful election.
No lawful election on November the 8th. They stay with us, and we'll discuss further. Stay with us.
Where there's smoke, there's The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Thanks for your fine company. Ambassador Lee Wanta on the line, along with Lon Gibby, editor, publisher, Viking International. The book, again, Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. He is the $31.2 trillion man, Ronald Reagan's secret agent, and we're talking about the U.S. election. I want to circle back because just before we went to break, Lee, you said there will be no legal election. And
right. Richard, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Why don't you ask me the very clear question? Since 1994, even Donald Trump, junior, senior, or whatever they are, knew that we had a deal for 2 million jobs immediately without any taxpayers' money to build the high-speed rail. There's maps on this all the way up through Alaska, to the East Coast, through Canada. And it wouldn't cost a taxpayer a single dime. That's 2 million jobs. Trump, all he had to do is, Trump is so up to speed, he could have told the public he would guarantee 2 million jobs, because Judge Lee agreed that I would get $4.5 trillion less 35% repatriation taxes, which was set aside for 2 million minimum brand-new jobs, trades, apprenticeships, hospitals, hotels, the city would have got taxes, county would have got taxes, state would have got taxes, and it wouldn't cost a single American taxpayer a nickel, a dime, even a Singapore half penny. Why wouldn't Trump come out and say, I know for a fact that there's $4.5 trillion in Judge Lee's, approved by Judge Ellis, both federal judges, that would give us a high-speed rail of 2 million jobs. How many metal foundries and cable and wire and electrical facilities would have been used already since 1994? Why do they hide that? Is there some special group that wants to build a high-speed rail with taxpayers' money? That's fraud.
Okay.
Because I'm willing to do it for nothing.
You tell me then.
My money, knowing that I won't make a single dime. I'm 76. I'll be dead by the time they get it built.
Why?
But we started in 1994.
Okay, two questions. How does Trump know about it, and why won't he talk about it?
Because we told him.
You told him.
He gets faxes every single thing I send. We have people that talk to him in person about 2 million jobs for a high-speed rail. But it's a secret. Is somebody getting a set-aside allocation? Or are they stockholders in their high-speed rail with the government taxpayers' money?
And
it's crazy. The military would have traveled on leave free of charge on the high-speed rail.
Has Trump
even have lines put up trailers showing that China jumped in there, showing how we would get through the mountains out there in Colorado. It's a beautiful sight, this machine they built for us.
And
two million jobs, not a single dime from the taxpayers.
Has Trump responded, though? Has Trump responded to you?
Doesn't say a word.
He doesn't.
Maybe it's too big. It's too fast for him. It's high speed. I don't know.
Have any of his people reached out to you?
Well, we get scuttlebutt, but it means nothing.
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
You know, we have two million American jobs a day. Yeah.
Okay, Lon, jump in. What did you want to say, Lon?
Oh, I just said I had an opportunity to talk to Eric just briefly one time. But we've, you know, Lee has continually sent, I've been helping, you know, it's just communication director sending a lot of information out to them, and they don't respond. They kept their distance from Lee for various reasons we don't quite understand.
They don't want to get involved in the truth. So that's part of the establishment. Let's not tell the people anything because they're too stupid. I don't think they're stupid. They're American citizens. They're dumbed down because of political harassment.
All right. And this high-speed...
But they definitely have learned a lot from Lee, you know, because at least the one that was been talking about the corruption way before Trump did, and Trump's finally starting to focus on it like he should. But that could have been brought up a long time ago, a lot of the things that they're finally talking about. Because Lee's had it out, you know, for
20-some years.
Reagan
had me sent to take down the Soviet Union so we would save lives. Now we want to beat up Russia. And Russia wants to beat us because we violated the General Agreement on Cooperation that we signed in Moscow. I was happy to get out of Moscow.
Right, and that agreement was that NATO would not encroach towards Moscow. And
NATO doesn't have nothing to do with this.
No?
The Russian Federation and the United States would be at peace, and the Israelis would be at peace. We had a peace accord which included the protection of all the socialist countries would now be under the Russian Federation. We spent $10 billion for Gorbachev to resign as Secretary General, and I was happy to get out of the Kremlin because I wanted to make sure he got his $10 billion.
You know, I wanted to mention, Richard, you know, that's the subject of the documentary Eagle on the Wanted that we've been working on.
Oh, yes. Thank you for
And, you know, there's a 10-minute preview on the website, Eagle 1 to Wanted, spelled out Eagle 1 to Wanted, just like you would write it. Unfortunately, that documentary should have been out before the election, but I'm not going to explain it right now, some of the issues that we've faced trying to get that completed, but it's been very, very... difficult. There's been a lot of adversity, and basically it's been sandbagged, but it's not over with because that documentary will be produced and finished. But I just wanted everyone to understand we've been talking about it for a long time, but we ran into some serious people trying to stop that project because it's...
I can imagine. I can imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a dead man walking, and I'm 76 years old. I'm not afraid of that. I'm too old to die.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to circle back to something before the break that you said that there will be no legal election.
Correct.
So, but earlier you had indicated that perhaps the provost marshal general will come.
Comes later. He's got to rebuild the country first. You're not just going to pick four guys out of a telephone booth and say you're running for president.
No, I understand. But you said you're saying that there will not be a legal election. But are you still saying that it's possible there will be an election, but it will be a fraudulent election?
It could be canceled immediately by the provost marshal.
Okay, that's all right.
And already there's three, according to CNN, which announced today, there's three active FBI investigations regarding Hillary Clinton. So even CNN starting to talk about not being Hillary involved in the election.
And the cause of treason and being a traitor. And Benghazi, one of the major issues, because there was never an embassy and never a consulate. And what's that gentleman that got bumped off through the White House who got killed in his bedroom? That wasn't him. Tim Osman is the CIA. Same guy as whatever the other character's name.
Okay.
Again, it goes back to, you know, if there's not, you know, if Hillary does step down, can there be an election? As you're asking that question.
Can't be, because the people don't want that.
Yeah. So there can't. So I think it's a postponement of the election. There will be an election, of course, and it'll be done properly. That's what I'm thinking. But I don't.
Well, maybe more than 6 months from now.
Yeah.
All right. But, I want to ask you about Russia. I thought it was very interesting the way that. you know, the saber rattling, particularly from Hillary. And you know, the one thing that Donald Trump, there are a couple of things that Donald Trump has in common with Bernie Sanders. One has to do with trade. They're both pretty much on the same side in terms of trade deals. The other one is that neither of them are banging the drum for the war party. They both want...
It's all theater. There's no war going on. It's all theater.
But I'm wondering, though, Hillary certainly has indicated, you know, that she would view a cyber attack as just the same as a military attack, and she would use any, you know, she would all, everything would be on the table in terms of retaliatory measures, including a military strike against Russia. This is...
Wait, you think that Russia is tapping our email lines?
No, I don't. I mean, that comes from James Clapper, and Clapper was the one that told us that the NSA is not spying on Americans.
James Clapper got caught in lies, and he was reprimanded for lies.
I understand, and she's citing Clapper as evidence that the Russians are behind these cyber attacks. I don't think
how does somebody that puts out an unsecured server with any country could actually, we don't even know.
Agreed.
Got that information.
No, I agreed. I'm saying she brought that up during the third debate, and I agree. She's citing Clapper as her source, and I don't put any credence in that. I agree.
I don't put zero. Minus
exactly.
52.
Yeah, this is the guy that told us that the NSA is not spying on Americans, and we know, of course, that was a lie. So
NSA spies on Americans for American protection.
All right, perhaps. But the situation, though, with Russia, I mean, we were told, there were reports last week that, you know, America was on DEFCON 1 you know, that they were, the Russians were telling their people to find fallout shelters, that, you know, this was escalating. What are your thoughts on the possibility that Clinton could drag us into a war with Russia?
Clinton needs money, power, and banking and military-industrial complex. She'll go with the highfalutin guys at any cost to the American people because they have no scruples. They don't care about life and death.
You know,
we do.
I think the other thing, Richard, is, you know, look at history as an example. You know, wars come up quite a bit in our history because they're needed. I mean, it's a way for... it's a cycle that there's a war and who makes money during wars, okay, and who benefits from a war,
right? And also sometimes these military actions are taken to distract from some sort of a crash,
a major crime somewhere else,
right? Do you
exactly?
What about the possibility, though, that we are headed for some sort of a crash? A bubble is going to burst. Several bubbles could burst. This could be another November surprise.
We are bankrupt. There's no question about that. But I have already agreed to take over the national debt that you can verify. And say they say there were $20 trillion in debt. If there's 50% of that is true, that's a big figure. But the Federal Reserve Bank, which is not a bank, it's a clearinghouse, are the ones that are doing all the money changes. They're the ones that created the problem, and they're owned by the Rothschilds and the cabal and the establishment. They're not fellow Americans in any shape or form. Kennedy got murdered. Bob Kennedy got murdered. Reagan got attempted assassinations and everything else. They need to control the money market, the gold, the silver, and they're not doing it for the people. They're doing it for a handful of people.
All right.
They do it every day. That's why they took me down, because I did the fair thing, and I had United Nations contract number 4 for $5 trillion, and they cried like hell because they wanted to do it, and nobody was going to lose money from our deal at the United Nations UN contract number 4, because we would have paid taxes on it, and we would have got rid of a lot of the banksters and the harp and all that bullshit.
Okay, no, we have to be mindful of our language, Ambassador.
Well, I'm just serious how much the people are being taken.
I understand.
It's BS if you want to say that, but yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, that's BS.
Okay.
Theater against the people, not for the people.
So
we don't have $20 trillion in real debt.
All right.
I plan to prove that.
Okay, we can circle back to that. There's so many issues here to address, but I want to just come back to Russia for a moment. You're confident then that despite Hillary's saber rattling and bravado, that the flag officers in the military would not allow for a war with Russia.
That's correct.
All right. Well, we can at least rest easy on that front. Let's get an update then on the $32.1 trillion. And I gave the sort of the thumbnail sketch of how that was amassed.
And it's much higher, according to the U.S. Treasury.
It's higher than $31.2 trillion?
Absolutely.
I would imagine, just with interest, even though, you know, it's as dismal as interest is, on $31.2 trillion, that is going to accumulate in an awful hurry. But this was, again, money, a fortune that was amassed when you were working under President Reagan as his secret agent.
When I was mandated under President Reagan.
Okay, mandated.
And one other thing
yes.
that's important. He was a private citizen under the Totten Doctrine.
Right.
It was initiated by Abraham Lincoln. So, you know, a lot of people have tried to justify taking his funds because they call him an employee. He was an employee of the government. He was never an employee of the government. He's always been a private citizen under the Totten Doctrine.
Right.
And if you want to know what the Totten Doctrine is, anybody could look it up. It's very clear what the Totten Doctrine is.
Right. And it's in. It's also documented in Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. Ambassador Lee Wanta and editor Lon Gibby, Viking International, with us. So that money, through a number of complex financial dealings, the currency swaps and so forth, was amassed. You repaid back the sort of the seed money.
The front money, $150
billion. $150
billion. And the GEOD made enough requests in Vienna, Austria, where I was stationed, to repay the $150 billion. I said, yeah, go, let's go down to the bank. We gave them the wire transfer, $150 billion. It was no big deal. I was happy to pay it off.
Right.
And then
the rest, you were to pay back to the U.S. Treasury the tax owing on that,
that
money.
Repatriation tax of 35% under Judge Lee's order, approved by Judge Ellis, both federal courts in Virginia.
They
recognized the money was there. They wanted 35%. In fact, they reduced it down from 37.5% because they'd been raped and plundered. Down to 35%, I calculate right away at 2.5%. Yes, Your Honor, I accept. Perfect.
And what is the status? The last ruling on that was from Judge Lee?
Judge Lee and Judge Ellis confirmed the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond testified to Judge Ellis that all the money, the $4.5 trillion that originally came in to my account at Bank of America was true, and Henry Paulson, Secretary of the Treasury, converted the money to the Treasury Department in his name only. People didn't get that money. He used it for the TARP money and pay off certain bankers and other cronies. That money was my money. I didn't tell them to have power of attorney. They just converted the money because the judge told me they didn't steal the money, Mr. Wanta. They converted the money. Well, thank you very much, Your Honor.
All right. Lee Wanta and Lon Gibby, stay with us. We'll take a time out. Come back. More of The Conspiracy Show on the other side. My name is Richard Serrett. Don't go away.
Big Brother is listening, and so are you. To The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740.
Tarragon Theater presents the weird and wonderful world of playwright Will Eno. The realistic Joneses are two couples too busy getting on with life to address the fears and loneliness they've kept hidden. That is, until they meet each other. And once they let their guards down, the Joneses discover they share more than a surname. Meet the Joneses and find the extraordinary heroism in everyday life. The Realistic Joneses, from November 9th to December 18th. Tickets at TarragonTheater.com.
Are you a superhero? A superhero has the courage to protect what's important, puts the needs of others first, and wants to make the world a better place. November is Make-A-Will Month. Be an Alzheimer's Society of Ontario superhero by protecting your family, planning for the future, and taking action. Get your will and powers of attorney in place. Contact the Alzheimer's Society of Ontario today for your free estate planner and guide at alzsuperhero.ca.
Hear that? That's the sound of winter coming. And that means at Nissan, when you buy three winter or all-season tires, the fourth is just a dollar. NissanTireEvent.ca and participating dealers have all the details. Plus, with Nissan's price guarantee, if you find lower-priced tires, they'll match the price. Tires for a dollar and a price match guarantee? Check out NissanTireEvent.ca and Nissan service lanes for deals so great, you'll be looking forward to winter this year. Valid October 1st to December 31st. Conditions apply. For details, visit NissanTireEvent.ca.
The next meeting of the Zoomer Radio Fan Club will be held in your kitchen.
Or maybe it'll be in your office or bedroom. It'll be wherever you read your Zoomer Radio Fan Club newsletter. You'll also have first chance at prizes set aside for Zoomer Radio Fan Club members only. And you'll be the first to get the news about Zoomer performers, programming, contests, and promotions. Go to ZoomerRadio.ca to join the Zoomer Radio Fan Club now.
Peering into the shadows, where the truth often hides, you're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Programming note next week on the transmission. Scott Bennett, author of Shell Game, Psychological Operations Like Edward Snowden. That's in the first hour. And then Patty Greer, the crop circle lady, will be with us. Right now, Ambassador Lee Wanta stays with us. Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat, Lon Gibby, his the editor and the publisher of Viking International. And again, the documentary, you can see the trailer. Just go to eagle1towanta.com, and that's the name of the documentary, Eagle1towanta. Eagle One, of course, being the code name for the president. Eagle1towanta.com, the website, if you'd like to see the trailer. Let me get your take on Julian Assange, Ambassador. Is he legit? Is he for real? Or is he some part of some psyop?
Well, it could be many things, because he gets around pretty nice. Nobody seems to bother him, make a lot of noise, but he seems to be very free to travel where he wants. And he was in the embassy for a long time, so he had protection. How does this happen?
Well, I don't know that he gets free to move around. He's been in the Ecuadorian embassy in London.
Right, but how does this happen?
How does it happen indeed? I don't know. So you're saying it's quite possible that he is...
he's fronting for somebody.
He's fronting for somebody. Okay. All right. Lon, did you have any further thoughts on Assange?
Not right now. I have some ideas, but I'll kick in here in a minute.
Okay.
Why did you go back to Snowden? He was working for Colucci. Frank Colucci and the boys were certainly, you know, very strange cast of spy masters. Okay? How did he get that job to come out, take all those federal files out? Nothing ever happened to him much, except you call him names.
Carlucci was defense secretary under...
Yeah, assistant secretary of defense under Cab Weinberger that got thrown out of office, too. And he went to become a director of Japanese Airlines for his own protection. Everybody gets a chair. That's what you call a set-aside allocation, to make all these deals while you're in office. Then you get a chair someplace, a college, a university,
right?
And then you draw from the funds that they set aside for you. That's illegal too.
Or a directorship.
Modern, I know that.
Or a directorship at American Express or something
that.
Yeah.
We take care of you later.
All right. So
it's
back.
Like going to a bar and they give you a ticket, a token for a free drink. You know.
What is your status, Ambassador Wanda? Are you free to move around the United States?
I'm a political prisoner. I will continue to be a political prisoner until they tell the truth to the American people that I can rebuild our country. I already agreed to pay all the national debt off, which I'm willing to do as long as it's real and subject to an audit. Oh, an audit? We don't do audits. Well, we ought to do audits before we say we're $20 trillion in the hole, because we're not. It's all nonsense. Total nonsense. If you did it like they did in Iceland, they arrested the bankers and politicians because they had bad books. Like in Greece, they got bad books. Everybody marks up everything because that money's been taken someplace else, but it's not real money. A lot of that's fiat currency. Derivatives, that means nothing. You can't cash the derivatives, so what good is it? Well, I have a $1 million derivative. Okay, try and cash it. Try to move it. Make it 10 cents at the junkyard for paperweight.
Further to my question about your being a political prisoner, what does that mean in practical terms? Are you able to move around the country?
I can move around the country. I have a lot of protection from a lot of people. But the thing is, I can't do what I want to do, and they won't give me my passports back from my diplomatic passports. This county judge told me that I wasn't black, so I can't be the ambassador of Somalia. He knew who I was. He even told the court I was an ambassador. Judge Elise Ross in New York testified that I was an ambassador. The U.S. attorney in New York ordered all my charges dismissed because I was the ambassador. But nobody cares that I'm an ambassador because they want to keep the money. If I'm free to travel, they have to give me my money. and that money cannot even go back to the people. And this is my argument. I owe the people on repatriation taxes 35% of over $60 trillion. The Treasury admits I have $60 trillion. But the money is being used. By whom? Why can't I use that money? Why can't I pay the American people their taxes? Why can't I build 2 million jobs on a high-speed rail? No charge to anybody. I'm never going to make a dime for that. That's what Reagan wanted, is free movement.
If
Amtrak was run by Tommy Thompson, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, that kidnapped me by rendition to pay $14,000 for income tax I don't owe. I haven't lived in the United States since 1985 when I spent the whole year in China, and 86 the whole year in the Philippines for President Reagan under the Truman Doctrine. I have no business being in the United States, but they kidnapped me so they can take all the money, and I can't leave because if they don't give me my passports back, where do I go with no money? So I just tell them the truth every day.
All right, Lon Gibby, jump in. Yes.
Well, I just want to just kick in that, you know, Lee's sharing some elements of his story, which is, of course, in the biography, which is available on iBooks as well as Barnes & Noble and Amazon. But we also have hardback copies of it. But the point is that everything in that biography is backed up with documents that back up. For example, Judge Lee ordered Lee to pay his taxes, liquidate his corporations, all of his companies, and pay his taxes. And that's what he was trying to do. But he can't do that while his money's frozen the way it is right now.
Right.
But
we should point out there's a CD-ROM in the back of the book as well that's available.
Yeah.
And that's just chock full of the documentation you're referring to, right? These are court documents.
Exactly.
Court documents. And, I mean, this is it's pretty compelling. I mean, there are copies of canceled checks and written judgments from judges and so forth. So people, you know, if you think that this is just some tinfoil hat delusional person I'm speaking to on the line, you know, get the book and decide for yourself. I mean, as I say, there are court documents reprinted in this book. So
yeah, and on the website you can go to. Just scroll down after you where the video is and go to the bottom of the page and read the last chapter in the book. And we asked me to help put that chapter together. And it's only 30 pages, but it'll explain everything that's happened in the last, you know, 2.5 years with Lee. So and paints the picture of what we call Puppetgate, which is the whole issue we're dealing with, which is much bigger than here in the U.S. This has to deal with England and other countries, people that are involved in this in Puppetgate. It's a big deal. It goes clear back to 1913, historically, when the Federal Reserve was established, you know, under President Woodrow Wilson. So, I mean, you're going to get a real snapshot in just 30 pages of what's going on right now, including the issues in the Ukraine and including the issue with Vince Foster and Hillary Clinton. And Lee did give Hillary Clinton $250 million for the Children's Defense Fund. And Vince Foster went to Switzerland to pick it up and meet with Lee, and Lee was put in prison, and the money went back with Vince Foster to Washington, D.C., and allegedly Vince Foster committed suicide.
It's not allegedly. He was murdered.
Okay, but I'm just saying allegedly because that's what everybody says.
Yeah, I don't care what everybody says. Let's tell the truth.
But nobody knows where those funds are either. And nobody's accounted for that. What happened to the $250 million that Lee gave to Hillary Clinton's Children's Defense Fund?
All right. We'll take another time out and back for one more go-around with Ambassador Lee Wanta and Lon Gibby Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. And again, I encourage you to get on up to the website eagle1towanta.com, and you can see a trailer. It's pretty substantial. I think it's about a 10-minute preview or trailer for the documentary, yet to be released soon, we hope. And again, encourage you to check out the book, Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. Stay with us.
PIN numbers, passcodes, social insurance numbers. If they make you wonder how private they are, here's two more numbers. 416-360-0740. Or toll-free at 1-866-740-4740.
Imagine the Don Valley Parkway, covered from the Gardner to the 401 in beautiful rugs and carpets.
As drivers stop to admire a stunning Persian carpet from Pollock's Carpet Market.
Just a slight exaggeration to illustrate the huge selection of in-store floor coverings waiting for you at Pollock's Carpet Market. Large volume buying power makes possible the biggest deals on Roncesvalles. So come save with Julio.
I'm Julio.
Pollock's Carpet Market.
S stands for safety. Salen Winter Tires have the safety standards of many national brand tires, but cost up to 50% less. So we figure M should represent money. A, the added peace of mind in Salen's 30-day risk-free trial. R, for being reliable. And T, for delivering traction when you need it most. Drive smart this season on Salen's Ice Blazer Winter Tires and take Salen with you through every turn. Find a dealer near you at salentires.ca.
This is Ralph.
Hi, I'm Ralph.
He's sharing a bedtime story.
With my grandkids.
Unfortunately, Ralph might also share the flu.
Wait, what?
Because Ralph forgot to get the flu shot.
But I'm not sick.
Actually, you are. You just don't know it yet.
Oh.
Don't be, Ralph. Get the free flu shot and avoid accidentally spreading the flu to those you love. Find a clinic at ontario.ca/flu. Paid for by the Government of Ontario.
I'm Marilyn Weston, and I give it to you straight from a woman's perspective here on Zoomer Radio every Saturday morning at 8. This Saturday, my team will share their knowledge and passions and happy stories so you can learn what works best for you and make informed decisions and take action with no regrets. So plan to tune in and join me, Marilyn Weston, and my team and get it straight from a woman's perspective this Saturday morning at 8 exclusively here on Zoomer Radio.
Fasten your seatbelt and put your tray in the upright position. You're about to leave everything you know behind on The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Final segment with Ambassador Lee Wanta on the line and his editor, publisher, Lon Gibby, Viking International, eagle1towanta.com, the website, eagle1towanta.com, and the book is Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. In the final moments, let's get back to the election here for a moment, and let's assume for a moment that, and I know you're stating that this is a fraudulent election, and many will agree. Let's say that the Provost Marshal General doesn't step in at that point. The election stands. Hillary Clinton somehow manages to eke out a victory. What happens then in your mind? Is she she'll be under investigation still? Will she be impeached? Will she be indicted? This would be a huge constitutional crisis. What do you see happening if Hillary is in fact elected?
I don't think anything will happen. She'll pardon herself, and everybody will cry for 4 years, and will be absolutely bankrupt and at a war someplace.
She would have
trust her with a puppy bag.
She would have that power to pardon herself as president?
Certainly. Why not? She could also make Obama the Secretary General or an ambassador to the United Nations and pay him another $150,000 every 6 months for air flight or something.
Would anybody have the power, would Congress, for example, have the power to appoint a special prosecutor, or can that only be done by the...
They can't do it now. How would they do it then?
I'm just asking you how this works. I'm not sure.
The politicians know that this is all nonsense, it's all illegal, but they're all part of the grouping. They have no place to run and hide.
All right, but
there's
no
difference between Party A and Party B.
But would, if she's elected, would then is it possible the Provost Marshal General, Joint Chiefs would say this cannot stand, and would they make a move perhaps?
Unconstitutional, they're entitled to do that, and they have to, they should. But I can't speak for the Provost Marshal and Joint Chiefs of Staff, because God knows who's going to be arrested before the moment she takes charge. She could arrest all kinds of people that she knows are the enemy of her state, not our state.
But Congress could still hold an investigation. Could she not be impeached?
She could shut down Congress.
She could shut down Congress.
Why not? She's now the president. Scary, scary.
Well, surely that would cause a constitutional crisis.
That would do a constitutional crisis. But which way is it going to go then when everybody's so confused? Because he's the first woman. Forget the woman or man. We're talking the office of the president. That's sacred.
You know, and the other thing is that gender shouldn't even enter in when it comes to criminal enterprise. I mean, this has nothing to do with gender.
No.
We would welcome a really outstanding woman president to run, but this is about criminal enterprise. It's nothing to do with gender. Make sure everybody understands that.
Elizabeth Dole would have been a cool lady. She's smart.
Yeah.
Smart as a whip, Elizabeth Dole.
If this problem goes way back in the history of the Clintons and the baggage that they're bringing to the table, and this has to do with, you know, her ability, her qualification, she's not qualified because of the federal laws that have been broken, for one thing. That's the bottom line.
Well, yes, I mean, as you say, tip of the iceberg. But one of the things we're also hearing is that she has precluded now from being briefed on intelligence matters because of this breach. Even if, you know, she can wiggle out of that and say it wasn't illegal, and they had to create this whole new term, gross recklessness or whatever, carelessness. Because they didn't want to say negligence because that has criminality attached to it. So they invented this new term. So she wiggled out of that one, as the Clintons often do. But that still would preclude her, apparently, according to some sources I'm hearing, preclude her from being briefed on intelligence matters. How can you have a commander-in-chief who can't be briefed?
Go back to Title 18. It's the bottom line. I mean, that's where everything's going to hit. They're starting to talk about Title 18 finally.
And Section 4, Ms. Prison of Felony. She knows crimes are going on. She hasn't reported a single crime. She's a co-conspirator.
So there are a couple of scenarios here we've talked about. We've talked about the fact that this is not a lawful election, and possibly the Provost Marshal General will step in. We've talked about the possibility that the election will be allowed to stand and we will have Hillary Clinton as commander-in-chief. Do you see a possibility that Donald Trump could still pull this election out?
I can't support either one because I'm an American first.
Okay, but aside from your preferences, do you see a possibility that Trump would be elected?
I pray not.
All right. Lon, do you have any thoughts on that?
I'll give my opinion. I think because there's so many people that have been afraid to speak up because they would have been labeled bigots or women haters or whatever. That when the people do show up to vote, I think they'll be surprised at the turnout for Trump. I think Trump has resonated. And if you look at the basic things, the policies, if you take away personality and look at policies, the things he's talking about are important to Americans. You know, gun control. We're talking about, having a strong military. We're talking about immigration issues. I mean, those are policies.
But he's holding back the truth, Lon. He's not telling the people everything.
That's true. And that's the other problem is that. But I'm just saying, I'm answering the question that he asked, and that is, Trump has a tremendous amount of support because he does resonate with policies. If you take away personality issues, and again, anybody that's been doing banking for years had to have had some baggage because they were dealing with the big boys, the banksters, okay? And some people like Trump, you know, they're multi-millionaire, billionaire type folks. They had to have dealt with some of these people, and there is some baggage there that will probably come out at some point. But I'm talking about taking away the personality and look at the policies that are being discussed. And the policies are correct as far as the conservative vote. And I think they will turn out because they're scared as heck right now of what could happen if Hillary got in. So I think there's a possibility that Trump could win. Now, again, we're talking about a rigged election situation, so that has to be all brought out as well. So there could be some issues that will come up relating to that disqualify the election for that reason. I don't know. But I just know that there will be support for the policies of the Republican Party, not the personalities.
Right. Ambassador, do you think, though, that your chances of getting access to those trillions of dollars would be better under a Trump administration than they would be under a Clinton administration?
I've been told I should be paid any day now. And I'll be paying approximately 35 to 50%. And they're delaying that because they don't want me to influence the election. I think the people have the right to know that I will get rid of majority of the national debt obligations based on an audit. The American people will be free to rearrange the furniture. And I will build a high-speed rail for a clubhouse sandwich, hold the mayonnaise. That's all I ever wanted to do.
Who has given you this assurance that you will be paid any
day? People that are very important to our country.
All right. You can't elaborate further?
The bad people know who I'm working with, and that's why a lot of people are being picked off the street and being questioned, and they're making deals. They want transactional immunity. I think that should be told to all the people. That's why I don't think the voting is fair, because nobody has all the material. I talk every day to everybody around the world, and I tell them how I feel, and I tell them the truth, and they look it up, and they say, well, how could this happen? Let me know, and I'll change it.
They did,
because that money talks to the bankers and the Queen of England and the Exchequer and the country leadership. Everybody's getting a piece of the pie. You can see what's going on around the world. The leaders get paid, and you, the people, you're not important.
Ambassador,
we are the little people. I'm 76. I went from a 52 waist to a 44. I'm experiencing they want me dead.
Well, that was my question.
Dead man walking. Okay.
How is it you are still walking around?
I pray a lot. I'm a Catholic lay minister, and I'm not changing my attitude.
I mean, but you are, you know, visible. People know where to find you, presumably.
I go out with a lot of agents and special people and travel here and travel there. I'm not afraid. You can only die once. And Sister Constantia told me in grade school, you'll never die before your time. And I'm taking it all the way to the end.
Do you have people that were loyal to President Reagan protecting you?
Absolutely.
Secret Service? Former Secret
Absolutely.
Service?
Absolutely. Reagan has never left office. Nobody. It was no transition. When on January 20, 1989, Bush did not replace him, nor the administration. It's still in transition because Prescott Bush's grandfather, director of the Herman Bank, was trading with the Nazis, and he signed a plea bargain that no Bush family would ever run for publicly elected office. So a lot of people in the Reagan transition are still standing around waiting to get back to work. We have never left our mandate or our position in life. People write from the Reagan administration all the time because he has never been replaced. There's no transition. Bush knew that.
Which gets back to why you were referring to his successors as acting president.
Right.
Right.
Nobody replaced Reagan. It's an open book. They can count all you want. It was voter fraud then, and it's voter fraud now. Because Bush family has no authority under the plea agreement for Prescott Bush to run for public office. And Sandy Berger, the NSA guy, tried to steal the plea bargain at the National Archives and got caught.
Okay, Lon wanted to jump in.
I was just going to say that, Lee, you might want to comment on your feeling about the Bushes and Clintons working together. They're the same cabal.
It is interesting.
Same establishment. They know what's good for us, so shut up and listen. That's wrong.
Maybe that's why the Bushes are endorsing Hillary.
Well, certainly, because they're mad that Jeb Bush didn't get in there. No Bushes can run for publicly elected office, not even the governor of Florida. That was in the plea bargain. It's still in the National Archives. Why didn't somebody steal it and publish it?
There you go. Lon, give us an update. I know you're desperately trying to get the documentary Eagle One to Wanta finished, released. Give us an update. What do you need to get that done?
Well, unfortunately, we're going to put out a news release about what happened, but there was a billionaire that was involved that believed in Lee in the story and understood how important this message was, and he has died. And so his estate has chosen not to follow through with the contract that he signed and fund the project, so that took away our funding that we had lined up. And that's all going to be exposed. That's another chapter that hasn't been written, what happened. And there's been some other interesting things that have sandbagged the project, but you know, I'm a small business owner. You know, I've worked hard 40 years in business, developed a really great team and media company, and fortunately, you know, we're moving forward regardless. We've been able to keep moving the project. We've gotten in debt, and of course, it's been a very difficult time for us, but this is an important message, and as an American, I feel it has to be told, and I'm doing my best to get the message out.
All right. In the meantime,
I might add his investor was a lieutenant commander of U.S. Navy, retired, and he signed all the contracts. He fell in his house, and he went into the hospital, and he died the same day and buried the same day.
Oh, dear.
That's one rapid removal.
I'll say. In the meantime, people can go to eagle1towanted.com, look at the documentary trailer. It's about 10 minutes long, eagle1towanted.com, and Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat, is available at all good bookstores, Amazon.com, Barnes & Nobles, etc. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I appreciate your time tonight.
And thank you for
your
time.
You're welcome. Thank you, Richard. We always appreciate being with you.
Likewise. All right. Ian Robertson, thank you. Albert Vinzel, our remote viewer friend, thank you. Ryan White, intern, thank you. Back next week. And we've got another good one for you. Scott Bennett, The Shell Game. We'll talk about Ed Snowden and others as a psyop. In the meantime, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak of the light. What I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite. I'm coming home. Good night.